Welcome back to another episode of Girls with Fun.
Hey, hey. We are chatting a little bit, but how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Good. I had like the perfect lazy Sunday, so it was much needed.
Yeah, I also didn't get much done today. Outside of like grocery shopping and doing this, so we're here. It is a special episode today because it is our fourth anniversary.
Woo!
Woo!
I need the like DJ air horn sound because mine always sounds sad, so insert DJ air horn sound here. Yeah. If our podcast was like a child, it would like solidly have like motor skills and like verbal ability and be like semi sentient at 4 years old. So kind of crazy.
I know. Very strange, but also great to think about that we've been doing this for 4 years long. I never thought that I guess I shouldn't say I never thought, but I didn't have too many thoughts about how long this will last. And so thinking that we've been here for 4 years feels strange, but also good. Like, wow, we really stuck it out. We beat a pandemic. We've done a lot.
I was just gonna say that, like, not only did we stick it out, when you think about the times through which we have stuck it out, I'm extra impressed with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But yes, we are recording this on Sunday night. It is the day of our fourth birthday exactly, I think, right?
Correct.
We are so on schedule. And I don't want to drag this out because I do want the episode to be pretty, like, celebratory, and I feel like we have a lot to cover, but the announcement we have been living in fear, waiting for, has come. It was announced, I guess, at midnight last night, Eastern time, though I was conked out. I was sleeping, so I only saw it this morning, but Yoongi is officially going to the military, I think this Friday coming up on the 22nd, if I recall correctly. And the letter in the wording in the letter, not the letter in the wording in the letter was a little bit vague, at least in the English version, but from what I saw on TikTok and just like group deductions on the app formerly known as Twitter, like, it's pretty certain at this point that Yoongi is doing the alternative service, which was broadly predicted. So I saw that that is 21 months instead of 18 months. So he will be due back to us on June 22nd, 2025. But who's counting? Definitely did not already set up a countdown timer on my phone. Who would do that? Not me. So yeah, that finally came. I feel a bit like I was making this joke in our group chat earlier, like a doubting Thomas, not to be like too religious with it, but to go to Sunday school for many years, but just like I had kind of been feeling like maybe Yoongi had already left, or like Guy was just gonna take off and tell us after the fact. And even like repeating that out loud now, I feel like a little bit icky, because like, part of the reason, I've talked about this before, like, before he went and got his surgery, he was, like, on with us, like, the night or two before, playing guitar. Like, we saw the effort he put into all those birthday letters of, like, hand-signing hundreds of letters or whatever. So I feel kind of bad that I doubted that he would just take off, because anyway, this morning, he, like, went live and was, like, chatting with us for a bit, and I was, like, I don't know, my spidey senses kicked in or something, because I woke up at, like, 6 a.m. to watch it, but yeah, I don't know. I felt kind of bad, but feeling sad all around. How are you feeling? I'll leave my thoughts there.
I feel like the more these announcements roll out, like, the less reaction I have to them at this point. I'm kind of just like, I expect it now. So I'm not sad, per se. I mean, of course I don't want to see him go, but I know it has to happen. I did manage to actually be awake. I'm like, why do I keep catching these at midnight for his, like, rollouts in particular? Like, what is this? So, yeah, I mean, when I saw it, I was like, oh, come on. Because, of course, the way it pops up on Twitter, there's that freaking picture of the seven of them that they use all the time now. Yeah. And then I just saw Suga, and I was like, all right, here we go. I didn't even have to open it. I already knew what time it was. I don't know. You're right. I do think that he's doing, the alternative service. I was doing some reading today that we won't really, I guess with the way that he's doing his service, they immediately go into training, like at his office. And so it's not like that big send off, for the basic training. He will do basic training at some point, during his service. So we might not see that whole like seven reunion thing or whichever number amount, to see him off, this week. We don't know when we'll see it, according to what I saw online. So I thought that was interesting. Huh.
Yeah, that's good to
know. I also thought it was interesting that he wasn't bald either. Well, he just had like a shorter haircut.
I was wondering about that because he was talking about his shorter haircut and how some of the staff didn't recognize him. Ha ha ha. Right. And I was like, seems a little weird. I feel like, yeah, I'd know you with any hair. Like, we know, you know, the back of your head from like hundreds of feet away, but I digress. But I was wondering if, because he's doing the like public service alternative or whatever, if he also needs to have a buzz cut, right, or if like, excuse me, any kind of short hair is acceptable. And I was wondering if, like, because part of doing the alternative service is because you have had some injury in the past, I'm assuming it's his shoulder or otherwise, like, not able to fulfill the quote unquote regular service. I was wondering if he would have to do like a basic training boot camp like the others, or if it's purely an office job. So based on your research, it sounds like yes on the basic training, question mark on the hair.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Maybe he'll have to cut his hair when he has to actually do the basic training.
That would make sense. Yeah.
His haircut reminded me of like early Bangtan. I was like, this isn't foreign feeling to me. It is kind of odd considering we've seen him with long hair for so long, it feels like. But I was like, oh, he's not bald. But yeah, I think I'm just looking forward to the future too much to feel sad at this point. Like, I'm done the crying. Now ask me on Friday how I'm feeling. I don't know. At this point in time, I'm like trying to remain optimistic as much as possible.
And I mean, this will also remain to be seen. And again, we've kind of discussed how the rules around the contact they can and can't have, what they can and can't do, like access to phones, Weverse, etc., kind of like a question mark. But I wonder, like, if because Yoongi is doing this alternative service, if we will see him a little more. I don't know, though, because he's still on the, like, see you in 2025 thing, and I'm like, just, like, rub some salt in this wound. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, because I feel like GOT7JB is on the internets often.
Right.
Like, he was live the other day. I'm like, aren't you serving? So, I don't know what the restrictions are. But it could be a choice that Yoongi might make to just not interact with us, which is also fine, too.
Yeah.
But it does sound like they have a lot more freedom. Like, it's like a 9-to-5 and you get to be home and you don't have to like give your phones up like Hobie was saying he had to give his phone back. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think the last thing I'll say about this, because we do have a lot to talk about, and I don't want to harp on it too much because I do want the mood to be more like celebratory, but wow, all thoughts just left my head. I had something I really wanted to say. What was it? It was about Yoongi, obviously. Oh, I feel like the 21 months is throwing me for a loop over the 18 months, because like June 22nd, 2025 feels like super, super far away. But like, to play devil's advocate to myself here, like Jin's service is already halfway over as of like last week or something. So I mean, I do feel like Jin's time has been going really fast. Hobie's time seems to be going really fast, so hopefully it's the same for Yoongi, but it just feels like long.
Right. I think what will make it feel longer is because it will be so staggered. And because we still don't know when the other members are going to enlist. But like you said, time is flying. Jin will be back in no time. Which is scary because I'm like, I don't want to think about June of next year. Like, I don't want to think that far.
I mean, let's not do that, but yeah, in general, time is flying.
Yeah, like, I want to think about them coming back in 2025 and being like, yay, that's so great. But, like, personally, I don't want time to fly that fast for me. Like, let's slow down a little.
Yeah. Yeah. Time has definitely felt weird. Plus, like, thank you everyone for the birthday wishes. I will say, so, my age, I turned 32. It feels, like, so anticlimactic compared to, like, other birthdays. And, like, time is just going. Like, I had a really great day. I had, like, great celebrations. This isn't any kind of complaint, but I don't know. Maybe, maybe me and my anti-era, but like 32 feels like no different. So anyway, just weird. Been thinking a lot about the passage of time, I guess is my point. But
yeah,
like, how am I 32 years old? Right. Anyway, something else we were talking about last week, you had shared your chicken nugget dreams with you and JK. And that was quite a hit with some of our listeners. And we got some really good submissions on people's dreams that were just, like, making me smile. So I definitely want to take, like, at least 5 minutes to talk through them. Also, can I ask you quickly, have you had any more BTS-related dreams in the interim to kick us off?
No. Not that I remember.
Okay. So, our listeners had some good ones. The first one, I'm not going to name names just because I don't know if people want their names. And the ones that come through on Spotify are just like people's handles anyway. All credit where credit's due, but I won't be naming names. But this person says, the first person that responded said, I dreamt that I was getting married to Jin, but I ran away because I was scared off of that life. I woke up crying. And, like, that's so real, honestly. We're always like, what would it be like? But then, like, slowly I've come to the realization. I'm like, whoo, like, my stuff would have to be unlocked. Like, I'm making them sign an NDA as well that they cannot disclose my existence. So, yeah, I feel like getting married to Jin, like, on the surface would be, like, the fairy tale wedding, right? Like, so lavish, like, was it Pretty Woman with Julia Roberts where she runs away from a lavish wedding? I don't recall.
Me either.
But anyway, yeah, yeah. I don't blame this listener at all. And so, This other person says, in the latest stream, there's been more than one, no surprise to me. Yungi and I cleaned rooms in an abandoned house. Not sure what that says about my cleanliness habits. And as a person that hates cleaning, I feel like that says a lot that you're willing to clean a house that's probably been sitting, like, vacant or spider infested or otherwise super dusty. Like, my first question is, like, why? Or for what purpose? But it's always a question with dreams, right?
Right.
Okay, let me toggle quickly to Instagram. Okay. This other person said, okay, this one was so on brand for me. This is one of my favorites. Listening to your layover episode and wanted to say, one time I dreamt I was in Namjoon's house when he wasn't home, and he had all these really, really elaborate and incredible house plants. So I was like inspecting them and touching the leaves and everything, and then he comes home and I was super apologetic for touching the house plants. And so I followed up with them. I was like, how did he react in the dream? And they were like, he was very reassuring. He said it was okay, but I just kept apologizing, like, not for being in his house, but for specifically touching the plants. But they also said his house was really cool, like a wooden treehouse library filled with plants. And I'm like, this just seems so on brand. Like, I know what we've seen of his house is more, like, architectural, very modern art museum vibe, but, like, if I didn't know that, I would imagine more of, like, a treehouse plant library greenhouse situation.
Yeah, I'm like, the person must have been welcome in the home, that he wasn't like, what are you doing in my home? But it is funny that they were apologizing about the plants, not other things.
That is, like, a very specific, like, phobia that I have. I have, like, a bunch of plants that I've just, like, inherited. I don't know, like, they're not anything, like, special or fancy, but, like, when someone's like, oh, I'm gonna throw this out, this season is over, I'm like, it's still alive, you can't just throw this out, like, hello, INFP problems. But so I've ended up with all these, like, unwanted, kind of, like, mangy-looking houseplants. But then when people come over and they're, like, my one friend is super into plants and my mom is, like, a big gardener, and they're, like, inspecting the leaves, and I'm like, don't look that close, like, they're a little brown and wilty, like, I don't know, I'm doing the best I can, but a lot of them are in kind of a sorry state to begin with, so, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I don't know if I would react as graciously as Namjoon did in this dream, so, but yeah, so I loved all those answers, so thank you to everyone who shared them.
Okay, we're recording again. What the freak?
Did it save?
Yeah, we're going. I just don't know why
I did that. I hate it here. Mom, can you come pick me up? Okay, well, I guess before we have, like, actual complete meltdowns with the technology, let's just move on to our main topic and keep it moving. I guess we have two main topics. Do you want to kick us off?
Sure. We'll start off with the Q&A, and we'll see if time allows. We'll do unpopular opinions.
And if not, we will still do unpopular opinions. We just might, like, break it off into its own episode.
Right. So we only got two questions for the Q&A. But one person sent in a bunch of questions, so we will try to address those to the best of our abilities.
Yeah, thank you to that person, because you're straight up carrying this episode.
Exactly. I'll start off with the first singular question. They sent us congratulations on our anniversary. The question is, if you could spend a day with a member who was neither your bias, biases nor your bias wrecker, who would it be and what would you be doing?
Why don't you go first? Because I need to think about this for a second.
I also need to think about it. So I will talk it through while I'm thinking. That leaves very few members. I would consider... I feel like I would consider Namjoon a bias wrecker, but I also feel like I would consider Jimin a bias wrecker. So that only leaves three other members. Let's see. I'll pick JK and he can feed me chicken nuggets. No. I will pick... I don't know, man. That little, like, army date V had was really cute. And I'm like, I would love to do something like that. That could be with any of them, though.
With
yeah,
Tae?
Yeah, I could be like with any of them, though.
Yeah.
Like, a video game date with Jin, but I feel like he would get really aggressive. I don't know. Like, some, like, chill, like, how do I explain it? I feel like a bar is not really doing it justice, but, like, some kind of, like, speakeasy, like, I don't know, really, like, low-key R&B jazz spot with Tae would be cool. Like, a little dinner date thing. That'd be cute. And if it was with JK, I don't know. I want it to be, like, fun. Not his version of fun, which is, like, jumping out of a plane. But, like...
Bungee jumping literally popped into my head. So I was like...
like, medium-level fun? I don't know what that means. Like, like, I don't know. Going to, like, an amusement park and, like, getting on a roller coaster where there's, like, a little more certainty that I won't D-word or splat on the ground. So yeah, I don't know if I can pick necessarily between one or the other. That's my answer. I'll leave it
at that. Part of the reason I wanted you to go first is because the Dingo story video that we talked about last time and that you just referenced now, like, has me in total disarray. Like, I want that. But then, like, we were discussing before, I'm kind of like, I don't know, I'm really competitive. So, like, that kind of rules out any kind of, like, video game or competition with, like, Jin Tae or JK. Like, because I'm also going to get really heated. So it has to be something, like, very low-key. I have this image of, like, going shopping with Hobie, maybe because you've said that before. Though I call all of them wreckers. I would, like, consider Hobie kind of in the wrecker position, I guess. But I don't know if I'd want to go shopping with him, only because I would feel so, like, frumpy in comparison. But, like, yeah, something chill. Maybe we grab a coffee and we're just, like, roaming around or window shopping or something, like, more laid back. With Jin, I would want to go to, like... Like, my friend and I have this thing where we go on friend dates and we just pick, like, a really fancier, like, trendy, buzzy spot. And we just dress up for no reason other than we feel like dressing up. And we go to dinner and, like, treat yourself kind of vibes. So I kind of want to do that with Jin because I feel like we have, like, being foodie in common. Yeah. With Tae, I would want to do something, like, low-key. I guess, like, the Spider-Man meme of, like, two INFPs meeting. But I would like to, like, just stay home and, like, chat, do something kind of cozy. Like, truly PG, like, movie on the couch type of thing. Like, actual Netflix and chill. Not, like, Netflix and chill. Also, like, maybe taking Ton for a walk. That would be so cute. I love dogs. Aww. So Tae and I could be our, like, overzealous dog owner vibe together. I've also realized that my parents' dog looks exactly like Holly, and now I'm like, what in the world? Anyway. Yeah, with JK, I don't really know. I don't know. Like, I love him, and I have this idea of paintball, but I think that would only be fun in the abstract. Like, by the time I've been sniped for, like, the 10th consecutive time, I'm gonna be steaming. So, it would have to be, like, paintball with, like, a couple of shots beforehand. Like, alcohol shots beforehand or something. So I'm not, like, raging. But that wouldn't help my accuracy or anything. Yeah, I don't know. I'll say walking, like, palm with JK. We'll say dog walking.
That's cute.
Again, nothing like, I'm not jumping out of a plane for you. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that.
All right. Let's get to these other questions. We'll start from the top. What's the best thing about standing BTS?
I think, like, the event, like, the friends, but I'm including friends in, like, the adventures. Like, I've done so many things that I otherwise never would have done, like, if it weren't for standing them. Just in terms of, like, going to concerts alone and, like, being comfortable with that and, like, exploring new cities, like, doing Army in the Soup with our friend group. There's just, like, it kind of made me braver in a way. So I'll leave it there, but definitely like becoming a bolder person or like making friends, having adventures.
Yeah, I think we've answered this one before in a, like on our last Q&A or last anniversary episode, I think. Anyway, but yeah, my answer is pretty much the same as you. Like I've done things that I would have never done if I wasn't a fan. And it's, I've been able to create friendships that I probably never would have had if I didn't like BTS. And so, yeah, I think that, like, community and the opportunity, like, I wouldn't have a podcast if it wasn't for BTS. So, yeah, probably the community and the opportunity to do, things that I normally wouldn't are the best parts about it.
Wipes a tear.
next question. Oh, so, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you can read it.
Okay, so yeah, I was going to read the next question. This is an interesting take. How do you all see each other in 5 years from now?
I don't know.
We're just saying we don't want to think so like June of 2025. So this is like a hard question post-pandemic, I feel like. I used to be a person that always had like a five-year plan and now I'm a person that's just like winging it.
Well, am I answering how I think you will be in 5 years?
Oh. sure, yeah, go for it.
Well, that's why I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea.
Probably, like, much the same as I am now, just with more gray hairs.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe you'll own a home.
Oh, yeah, fingers crossed.
Maybe you'll have your own pet.
Also, fingers crossed.
I know you're dating, so hopefully, like, you're in a loving relationship.
That would be ideal. The internet is... dating apps are a cesspool that I would like to leave permanently.
I hope you're in a job that you, like, really like.
Oh.
I don't know.
These are all good things. I'll claim that energy. Yeah, I guess for you, like, a lot of the same, all good things. I know you've been thinking about grad school and, like, next steps in your career, so I hope that you find the clarity, not just the clarity, but you've, like, taken action toward those steps, because I know you want those things. I also know that you're on the apps. You're out here trying to date, so I hope that you're in a relationship that you find fulfilling and the person like shares your values and doesn't send weird text messages.
Jesus, beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we're like collectively together. I mean, still like doing Army in the Soup and like hanging out with our friends and doing like, even if things have like slowed down, which I don't know if they will or won't on the BTS front, like I hope we're still doing like annual trips or like other fun adventures. 'Cause even if BTS would be like on indefinite hiatus or whatever, I don't even want to say those words out loud. I like don't want the friendships to stop. So
yeah, I hope that BTS isn't the only thing keeping us together. Not necessarily just me and you, but like our friend group in general, because it's how we met.
Yeah.
And so I hope that if for whatever reason, like if we're not doing the podcast anymore, or if I don't know, like we just have other, I don't want to say greater interest, but maybe, you know, we might not be able to be as invested in BTS because we're focused on relationships. I don't know. Some of us might have children. I don't know. Like, you know, we might not have as much time to devote to dropping everything to go to a BTS concert next month. So I hope that BTS isn't the only thing keeping us together and that we'll still find time to hang out with each other, meet up, like you were saying. Yeah, still be friends, pretty much.
Exactly. I hope we're all, like, super financially independent and we can buy all the concert tickets we may want to purchase or travel or whatever. So I'm wishing all of us, specifically you and I, but all of us listening, our friend group, financial stability and prosperity, because that would be ideal.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, to be honest, like, even if I do end up in, like, a relationship or get married or have kids, like, even if I can't devote as much time day-to-day to BTS, I still hope and I anticipate that they'll be, like, a big part of our lives. Even if, you know, I can't watch whatever at every, like, drop everything and watch whatever new run BTS episode or whatever, which I'm bad at that now, but, like, you know, I don't think that their impact will have, like, lessened.
Right.
Yeah. Which, interestingly, I want to jump to the next question, because you kind of mentioned it, like, I'm going a tiny bit out of order, but I think this question is related. Is the podcast going to continue after the members are gone?
Yes. Yes. I mean, maybe we can cut this, because this is something that I wanted to talk to you about, not on our anniversary. But yes. I'll leave it at that. I can't guarantee how long, right? I don't know. But yes.
Yeah. I mean, as of right now, I do want to talk to you separately and hear your thoughts, but as of right now, I do want to keep this going as long as we can. It is a lot of work, so if things were, like, super quiet and we ended up going back to, like, every other week or, like, as there was news or updates to share, I wouldn't, like, be opposed to that. But I certainly don't want to stop as long as we're both, like, in it, you know. So no plans to end it. Hopefully we have stuff to talk about.
Right.
But, like, as we've talked about on other episodes, like, working out, branching out, maybe going back to school, professional changes, like, whatever. Like, I love this podcast and want to keep it going, but obviously don't want us to, like, hate doing it, you know, or it to become a chore.
Right. Yeah. I think you said it best.
I guess this is a kind of related question in general. Thoughts on school and careers? This is kind of open-ended. I'm not sure I know what this one means.
So there's things that you can do in life where you don't necessarily need to go to, like, school, if that makes any sense, and you could be successful at it. I think you just have to have that passion and that drive to be able to make a living for yourself, whatever that means, right? I'm not saying you necessarily have to, like, strive to be making six figures or more or be a millionaire or whatever. But, like, you know, the more I experience life, I realize, like, the way they push, like, 4 years colleges is not necessarily, like, go to a trade school. If you want to, like, do hair, go do hair. Like, you don't have to spend, like, 40K, 80K, so you can say you went to Harvard. Like, do what it is that you want to do. If you want to work in IT, you can pay way less money than, like, going to some four-year school for that or whatever. If you want to be that doctor, go ahead and do it too. Mostly my advice is, like, if you want to do it, go and do it. If you don't want to do it, do not force yourself, because you do not have to. I know society will, like, try and tell you otherwise, but there's other avenues in life that you can take. I think you just have to have that drive and passion to make a living for yourself. But, like, don't have any regrets, right? You might think, oh my god, I wanted to go to this, like me. I wanted to go to this school, I wanted this degree, and now I'm at a point in my life where I want to do something completely different. Don't, like, wait around doing something that you don't like doing. Like, get up and make it happen. So that you're not having, like, any regrets about whatever your choices are. But that's pretty general.
That's good advice. I probably also need to hear, just, like, go and make it happen. Don't wait around. I tend to, like, really overthink things or, like, sit on them for a long time. And it can be hard for me to, like, get moving on the changes I want to get moving on. So I appreciate that advice. As far as, like, career, yeah, I think, like, at the risk of sounding really cynical, I think it's important, like you mentioned, making a living. Like, I do think it's important to be realistic, because I feel like I was of the generation that they were like, follow your dreams and you can do anything. And, like, to an extent that is true, but there's also a lot of, like, real world ramifications that I don't think I personally was thinking about at the age of, like, 17 or 18. So just try to take, like, a strategic approach to whatever choice you make and really, like, think through the pros and cons. Although here I am just saying I tend to, like, overthink. As far as school, I can't really talk to that because I liked school. I like the structure of school. I like learning. Even now, I, like, sign up for classes I think are interesting for no other reason than, like, I'm curious about it and want to do them. And that can be outside of, like, a four-year degree as well, or a two-year degree or whatever. Just, like, follow what you're interested in. But for me personally, they're really, again, it wasn't really promoted when I was in school, but there wasn't really another path other than a four-year program that I would have pursued. And then I went on to grad school. Yeah. I would say just, like, be honest with yourself about, like, what culture fit feels good for you at the school, and what's important to you. It could change, but it is a huge investment of your time, energy, and money.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope that helps. And you can always change, right? If it's not right, like find somewhere else to go, find something else to do. There's no harm in realizing actually this was not the right thing for me.
Exactly. I think that's also what I was trying to get at. Like, you might be like, I don't know, in the middle of your college years and be like, wow, I actually did not care about what I'm studying, or I do not care about what I'm studying. Like, go for it and change it, right? You don't have to necessarily feel pressured, like, my mom wants me to be a doctor, so I have to go and do this. Like, tell your mom respectfully, no. Like, I'm gonna go do what it is that I want to do. Or, you know, you could have gotten that degree and feel like, I hate this. I need to do something different. My point is, don't, like, sit around and wait, because I did that for years and I regretted it. And I should have taken that opportunity that everyone else took when they went back to school during the pandemic. But I'm not gonna, like, wallow in it. I'm gonna get up and go do something. So I'm not just, like, sitting around, not enjoying what it is that I do. Well, I enjoy what it is that I do now, which is why I'm trying to actually pursue that further. But you're right, you do have to be realistic about it. The point is that there's more options out there for you than what they, like, try to present in school. Like, you're not dumb if you go to a community college. I hate that they push that so much. It's the same thing as that four-year university. The first 2 years, you pay way less. Like, you can also still get a college experience if you want to stay on campus at those two-year universities too, because they do have, like, housing if that's what you're, like, looking for. They have the clubs, all that other stuff. So, like, there's still that college life experience. Or, like I was saying, if you aren't interested in those 4 years, like, there's other trades and things that you can do. For universities, I should say, there are other trades and things that you can do. Yeah, but definitely know what it is that you're getting yourself into. Like, there's ways that you can flip your career to be profitable, if that's what you want to do. You just got to be creative about it.
Also, on the more fun side, like if you do pursue some kind of further education, if there are like clubs and stuff, like get involved in that. Like meet people that have similar interests as you. Like even if it's not BTS, even if it's a book club or a knitting club or anime, like I don't know, whatever. Like pick your club. It could be sports, like band, whatever. I was like the shyest, most scared person. In high school, I like didn't know how to be comfortable in my own skin, and like, let's be real, I'm still working on that. But like, I met people who were just as like quote unquote weird as I was, but like they didn't care and they were cool. And so like, I kind of learned about myself and like came out of my shell a lot more because like. I feel like the adult world, and especially the young adult world, if you're in education, like specifically thinking about my experience in a 4-year degree program, like it's a whole new world. It's a whole new playing field. It's like such a time of like growth and learning, which of course you can have without that, but like don't be scared. Like just because you haven't maybe found your group or your niche beforehand, or maybe you have, but like don't be scared to like go and meet people because I think that's like one of the best parts of college outside of the actual like academics and stuff.
Yeah, those clubs definitely made my college experience, so I highly recommend you joining them. Like, try everything, right? Like, if there's opportunities out there, like, some of these schools are just willing to, like, give you money. Like, go do that study abroad program. Like, go do it. That was, like, one of the best experiences of my life, honestly. And you don't have to necessarily do, like, a year abroad. You could do, you know, a 6 months, 3 months program. They have 2 week programs. Like, go and do it. Apply for those scholarships. because somebody is willing to pay for you to, like, go to school or to go study abroad or whatever it is, like, definitely go and do it. And if you don't have to throw yourself into debt, don't do it. Like, if you really, if you're like, I want to go to, you know, that Ivy League school that bad, and you're comfortable with being in that debt, I still recommend you try and, like, you know, apply for those scholarships or whatever else it is, because that debt really hurts later on. I've learned that. It's like, it's just not worth it. So, like, try your hardest to finesse some money somehow. But also don't beat yourself up too much about it. I spent so many years, like, worrying about not having, you know, enough money to be able to pay for my debt in school, but that's kind of similar to the point I was making earlier. Like, if you have that drive, you will eventually, like, get yourself to somewhere in your career where you'll be able to afford it, like, paying off those payments or whatever, or just charged into the game. Like, some people are like, I don't care. Like, I'm not paying on those loans. I don't know. That's up to you.
Not a financial advice podcast. But yeah.
But
make good choices.
Yeah. Make choices that you're going to feel comfortable about later. I'm also really proud of how Gen Z will just, like, be like, this job is not fulfilling me, I'm leaving. Like, I feel like more millennials will feel like, oh, like, I don't have the experience. I need to, like, sit in this for, like, a year to, like, get the experience to be able to leave. And, like, the younger kids are like, F that, I'm out. And they, like, move on to their new job.
I know.
I don't know what that looks like years down the line with, like, pensions and whatnot. But I feel like most jobs aren't even doing that anyway. So, yeah, like, if that career is not fulfilling you, like, switch it up. And go do what it is that you want to do, because life is too short. It's too short.
Speaking of life being short, I've kind of been jumping around, but thoughts on ages in the fandom?
I think we've touched on this before. We did a whole episode on it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, this K-pop thing or this BTS thing should be open to anyone, right? Yeah, I don't care if you're, like, 12 and you like BTS, or you're 70 and you like BTS. I think there's room for everyone. I feel like that ageism doesn't really exist offline. Nobody's calling me a hag in real life. So yeah. Yeah, not much else to say on that.
Yeah, I agree. I hope that, like, this is me, I guess, being in my auntie era, like we were joking. I hope that, like, younger fans, like, someone was on June's Live being like, I'm 11, and he was like, you're 11. Like, I hope the younger kids have, like, parental or, like, some kind of, like, guardian guidance, just because, like, I feel like the internet's an insane place. I know, like, I was of the, like, AOL dial-up, can't use the phone generation, so, like, the first, like, kid generation to have internet and, like, really kind of, like, unmonitored internet use, right? Because our parents didn't really know what was going on, but it was, like, different because it was mostly for, like, you do your homework and you get off, right? It's not really, I mean, you could play some games, but not like how it is now. So I just hope, I, like, hope for the younger kids are, like, experiencing the fandom in, like, a positive way. As far as, like, older, I feel like older ARMY, like, when I read books on fandom experience, or, like, when I was at the Ohio Cup Sleeve I went to, like, a couple weeks ago, I think I mentioned, I was talking to, like, an older ARMY, I think, and her, like, I didn't ask her her age, but I think just based on our conversation, she was in her, like, 50s maybe, or 60s, probably 50s. But, like, honestly, it was really cool to talk to her because she has a lot of perspective on, like, other fandoms and, like, other music experience. And I know that, like, even though I'm still like a 90s baby, like one of my coworkers, I think I mentioned this on a previous episode, or someone I used to work with, she was like, oh, I thought they were teens. And like, I felt weird at the time. I was like, no, they're like the same age as me, roughly. I felt weird at the time that she thought that I was like, you know, I guess like liking someone a lot younger than me. So like, I give a lot of credit to older ARMY in particular, because I feel like they do tend to catch a lot of heat. So to be like really secure in your fandom, I think that's really respectable. So anyway, I'll leave it there because we have answered that before and we have a lot of questions. But yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I think the unfortunate thing about the internet is that even at my age, I was reading, I should say, even at my younger age, like, I don't know, 13 or whatever, I was exposed to fan fiction that I should not have been reading. And so I feel like that's just like a recurring theme that's going to keep happening, especially as we become more and more connected. So that is very unfortunate. And then, of course, there's the other side of it where you're like an older person saying very inappropriate things about minors that are in K-pop groups. I don't know, it's weird on both ends of the spectrum. So yeah, unfortunately those things are always going to be there. But yeah, here for, you know, fandom diversity in a positive aspect. What's the next question? I feel like I haven't lived enough life to to offer that kind of advice. I think it's kind of similar to what I was talking about with schools and careers recently, but kind of life is short and it goes by fast, so like, live your best life pretty much. And people that you love are not always going to be here, so spend as much time as you can with them. I know, how do I explain it? Sometimes we might feel like we're not able to have certain opportunities, or we don't care because we have other priorities for certain things, but yeah, some of those people you love could not be here the next day. So make sure you spend as much time with them as you can. Tell those people that you love them. Like I said, if some things in life are not fulfilling you, like, move on. Don't waste time. These are the things that I'm thinking about, because I too, like you were saying earlier, will just sit around and wait. And feel like I can't move for XYZ reason, but you can. Or if you can't, like, there might be some way to get out of that. Yeah, I'm trying not to like overthink things as much as I usually do. Like, yeah, live your life. Don't let your insecurities hold you back.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I also feel like I haven't lived that much. but I think, like, with my health scare that I had last year, I really agree with you to just, like, do the things that you can do when you can do them. Like, other people might be like, that's a little chaotic, or, like, should you be taking so many trips, or, like, I mean, someone's always going to have a comment, but I wouldn't wait for, like, a future moment. I mean, don't live, like, recklessly and, like, but, like, if you can do something, like, don't wait around or assume, like, oh, when I have a partner, I'll travel the world. Or when I hit X, I'll do Y. Like, just go and do Y. Like, don't wait around for another person. Don't wait around for, like, this situation to be perfect, because the situation is never going to be perfect. I mean, if it is, great, but there'll always be some reason not to do something. And granted, it's easier in some ways, like taking a trip, because that's entirely within your control, right? Like, book the plane ticket, book the hotel, and just go, like, or, you know, take the class you've been wanting to take. Obviously, with, like, career moves and stuff, that's harder, because that's contingent on, like, interviewers or whatever. But just, yeah, just, like, don't, I don't know, don't let people tell you what to do, but, like, also don't wait for the perfect moment for things to happen. I feel like we've been hitting a lot of the hard ones. What does BTS mean to you?
Being like a safe space. I think what was really hard for me, when, you know, that whole dinner thing happened, was that I kind of always felt like BTS has always been there. For me, for literally almost 10 years. And so, yeah, they've always just been a constant in my life. And I think that was the scariest thing ever I experienced, when that dinner happened, and thinking about, oh my God, there might be a moment in life where they're just not there. And I realized I had, like, formed much of my identity around them in this group. And I'm like, who am I outside of this group? And I had a mental breakdown. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's like, they mean so much to me. It's in ways that I can hardly, I can't really express it. I can't really explain it well. It's kind of scary. So, they mean a lot to me. Maybe not as much as they should. but they do mean a lot. Yeah, they mean so much. They were there in, like, the darkest of times. They were there when I felt like I didn't have anyone. And they were there in the best of times, and when I felt whole and complete, and that there were people around me who loved me. I don't know. They mean a lot. Their music has gotten me through, like I said, good times and bad. Knowing that I can pull up a Bangtan Bomb or whatever it is and watch them whenever I need a pick me up, or I just want to enjoy their content. I don't know, they've just been, like, very constant in my life, and I've been very grateful for that.
Yeah. Happy anniversary, Girls with Fun. And technology problems persist into our fourth year. Yeah. I guess, like, what does BTS mean to me? I was going to say something similar. They're kind of like an anchor, or, like, I don't know, a place I can keep coming back to. Or, like, I don't know, like, a burst of color in, like, otherwise pretty monotonous times, like, especially during the pandemic. But I agree with you. I feel like I became a fan in, like, 2016, and we've talked about this before. I'd, like, moved to Spain. I was, like, basically alone all of the time. I mean, Spain was a good experience, don't get me wrong, but I was spending a lot of time alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was, like, in grad school, and then the chaos of, like, doing two programs at once, right? And then, like, I was moving to D.C., and the chaos of, like, D.C., and, like, I also did an internship in New York, so, like, going to New York, and, like, then, like, moving back home and living out of a duffel bag during the pandemic, like, my entire, like, ARMY fandom experience has more or less been marked by, like, upheaval or change of some sort. And like, I think that's just life, honestly, especially life in the last few years. Like, I'm sure I'm not the only one going through this, but BTS just feels like a safe, positive thing, or like something I can always look forward to. So I'm also very grateful. But much like you said, like realizing after last year's dinner, like how much of relying on them is too much. I didn't word that like very poetically, but like just trying to like keep it all in balance, you know. I think they're a great support for sure, but I don't want them to be my only support.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I agree with you. I also think like BTS is fun, like I was saying before, like having this podcast, having our friends, like it definitely is a bright spot. Traveling, like there's always something to look forward to. So I do enjoy that aspect.
Exactly. I think everyone should have some kind of hobby or something they're interested in that, like, keeps them looking forward to the next day, whatever that is, right? That's your dog, if that's your football team, whatever. Like, something that you get excited about and look forward to. And I feel like that's pretty much been BTS for me. Yeah, they keep me going. So that's what they mean to me.
Okay. Okay. I think that's the last like heavier question. What is something you would could tell your younger self?
Can we skip this? Because I do not want us to cry on this podcast.
Okay. Yeah, we'll skip for our well-being. Yeah. I think I'll say this and then I'll keep it moving. So I'll at least offer one answer. Don't feel pressured to answer. But it's kind of ties into what I was saying about clubs or school. Like, I think if my younger self saw me just like doing my thing, minding my business, like 15-year-old Julie was really judgmental. Like 32-year-old Julie isn't. But like just way more insecure. So, I would say, like, it's just really freeing to be an adult. There's a lot of stresses, but, like, guess what? Reading manga and watching anime has become normal. All your, like, yeah, you like K-pop at 32. Maybe you would have thought that was weird when you were 15, but guess what? Like, you're paying your own bills, you have your hobby, like, you've got to travel to all these places. You made all these friends that you otherwise would never have met. Like, just like be yourself. Like, you won't have everything figured out, but like, don't worry so much about being cool because ultimately, you're not cool anyway. So, just like have fun with it. It's not that deep.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on from that. Me telling my younger self it's not that deep, don't worry about it. Okay, the best BTS related place you would recommend?
Okay, see, this one I was like struggling with. 'Cause what does that mean necessarily? Like, a place that they visited? Like, a army cafe, like a cup sleeve, like what? That could be
I took
anything.
it as like places BTS has been, but I will say also Army, so then I have three. I was thinking about Hamilton Park, which is in New Jersey, but it lo overlooks the New York skyline. BTS went there, I think in like 2016 or 2017. They had photos on their Twitter from there. And we went back when we went, I think, for a concert. Like the day before, the day after, we went to that park, and just like the scenery is really beautiful, and to like I always feel weird like being somewhere BTS has been, not in a bad way, but it just feels like some cosmic situation. I can't really explain it, so I won't try to do it now. But I enjoy that. So I'll say Hamilton Park. I will say I went when I was on my grad school trip to Japan in 2018. I went to that Red Rock in Harajuku that Jimin and JK went to in Golden Closet Film. And that was just like a cool experience and like very easy, like vending machine ordering and like huge quantities of like meat and rice and like cold beer. And it's just like ingrained in my mind as like something cool that I did. And then thirdly, I'm gonna say if you ever have the chance to visit, I think it's at the LA Line store. But I did see them in Chicago around Hobiepalooza on a truck. But if you ever get a chance to like put your hands in the hand indentations, that just like absolutely feeds my like army delusions. But it's so satisfying for reasons I can't even like explain. But just to like get a sense of scale of like your hands versus BTS hands. And if you know me in real life, like no, you don't right now. But it's just like so good. I don't know why. So those are my top three.
Yeah, I was thinking the Hamilton Park one. Mainly because that was like we did go to that right after the Speak Yourself concert. I believe we went there the next day. And we had been through so much to try to get to that concert. Like, first of all, I mean, we told this story 1,000 times, but we'd only known each other for like a solid month. We like drove through like the backwoods of like Pennsylvania in pitch black darkness, just to try to get to New Jersey. Some lady almost drove off with like me hanging
Oh
out of
my
the
gosh.
car in New
Yep.
Jersey. We like stayed the night in some like rat infested Airbnb. Like, it was just the most insane
Honestly,
trip.
like we shouldn't even be friends, like hearing you recount all of these things, and yet here we are.
And so like to wrap that up with like going to Hamilton Park where BTS stood, and we were able to stand there and like take the same picture, and I don't know, it was just very scenic. I felt like, all right, like we're locked in, like we've been through so much BS to get here. I don't know, I just love seeing that picture of us. So yeah, it's probably my favorite BTS related place.
I think I still have that picture on my mantle. I do. Yeah.
I have it sitting on my desk at work so I can be happy when I look at it.
So this one's coming up. I think we have mentioned it in the abstract, but whoever submitted this question must also follow me on Twitter, because I posted it on Twitter, so I assume that's how they know. On my Stan Twitter account, but we have talked about it in the abstract, but now it's for sure happening. What are you most excited about for your Korea trip? And this is hot off the presses. We just booked our airfare last week. We have nothing else planned just yet. So, but yeah, Kaleo, what are you most excited about for us going to Korea?
Well, personally, it'll be my 10-year army anniversary, like legitimately to the date.
Wow. I still can't believe that.
I think like the day that we land, it'll be like my 10-year anniversary or like the next day. And so I'm really looking forward to being in Korea for that, which we didn't necessarily like plan that in the beginning. It just so happened we've changed this date so many freaking times. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. We're also going during cherry blossom season, and I've been saying literally for 10 years that I've been wanting to see the cherry blossoms in Korea. And so I'm probably gonna stand under some tree and cry and like don't say anything, just like let me have my moment and like cry. So I think that's like and then third, the food. Oh my God. I'm probably going to eat the street food and cry. So just hand me some tissues. When I put that Tong Hulu in my mouth, I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry. So yeah, that's what I'm excited for. What about you?
Well, first of all, on your 10-year Armyversary, I feel like we need to go to that restaurant they used to go to during their trainee days or pick something, like, super fun to do to, like, commemorate that day. So, up to you to decide, but I do think we should go to the Spring Day bus stop or, like, I don't know, let's, like, do something to commemorate.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I'm just excited this trip is happening. Like, I haven't given it much thought, and I think to a certain point, given that we just booked our tickets last week, it doesn't feel, like, that real to me yet. Like, it feels more real than it did, but, like, we've been planning this since 2019. So, like, literally as long as we've had this podcast, we've been planning this trip, and, like, things were just, like, not aligning for a while. Which is fine, like, that's always how it is, right? Like, with group things. But I just, like, wasn't sure if we were, like, losing momentum for the trip or, like, I don't know. It just felt like it was in limbo. So I'm so happy it's really happening. I kind of want to go to Daegu, like, if our schedule permits. I know it's, like, not as big as Seoul or Busan, but, like, maybe this is overly sentimental of me, but, like, the whole reason I even got into K-pop, period, in the first place, even before BTS, and I've told this story a million and one times, is I was, like, tutoring these two kids from Daegu. I was their English tutor when they were in middle school. And it just feels like kind of a place where it all started for me or something, even though, like, the kids didn't really talk about Daegu, so it's, like, a tenuous connection at best, right? But I just, like, want to go there, I think, for reasons that I need to think through a little bit more. I think specifically, I want to go to the Han River. I really want us to do, like, since my understanding is that there's no open container laws, like, in the U.S. where you can't just have alcohol, like, outside. I really want us to do, like, a nighttime picnic somewhere pretty along the Han River and just, like, look at city lights and, like, have some beers and eat snacks on a picnic blanket. Plus, like, lots of bug spray, I guess. but, yeah, like, in my head, it's really romantic. I don't know, like, what the reality would be of, like, our whole friend group camping out in Han River Park, but I want to do that. What else? Yeah, just like I said, I want to visit, like, a lot of BTS sites. I would love, and this is not confirmed in any sense, and it might not happen this trip, maybe never, but it would be really cool to visit the In the Soup House. I just don't know if, given, like, the amount of days we have, if it will happen. But, like, I feel like that would be, like, a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So, I'll say that.
The first one or the huge one? The second one.
I meant the first one. Because that one's just, like, on Airbnb. It would be easier to book. The second one's also on Airbnb, but I think they just did some kind of promotion for, like, one day in, like, August of 22, and the posting is still up, but they never have any availability. And, like, I remember Tay saying that they had to, maybe it was a Tay, someone being like, we had to switch cars to get up here, and I'm like, I'm not trying to, like, drive a 4x4 in Korea, like, a Jeep off-road. Like, I'm not trying to, like, do anything too rugged, let's say.
Yeah.
Like, my idea of camping is just, like, chilling at a luxurious house in the wilderness, like when we did Army in the Soup. So, which I guess both houses meet that criteria, but how much struggle do I have to go through to get there?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think also, yeah, the food. I really want to eat, like, jajangmyeon, not from like a packet.
Yeah, I really want to do one of those, like, we eat street food, like, on the street in one of those, like, little tents and just get sloshed yes. on alcohol.
Which as is long probably as we like... know how to get home. Yeah.
Yeah, probably not a good idea.
Yeah, at least once. At least one night.
Let's see. What else do we have?
The next question on the list is, how would you describe your relationship with army friends?
I feel like most of my friends are armies at this point, so...
Or the K-pop diagram, in some way. Circle.
Yeah, it's just like... For some of us, BTS brought us together, but it's just like any old regular friendship, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, like, important to be conscious about, like, not only talking about BTS. Like, right. For some, like, if... Because you know you have this easy thing in common, it can be easy to... This isn't just BTS specific. This is, like, any hobby-oriented friendship. Like... Even in book club, like, I could mostly talk to those people specifically about, like, books we've read. But if I want it to move beyond just being an army friend, just being a book club friend, I think it's important to also, like, be interested in, like, what else that person has going on and getting to know them as a person, like, outside of their hobby. So, like, on the one hand, I love talking to ARMY friends about BTS because I feel like they just get it. There's a certain frame of reference that you, like, don't have to explain. You don't have to apologize for, like, squealing about abs or, like, you know, laughing about whatever new, like, ARMY or BTS bomb that just came out. So, like, I really value that easy kind of, like, shared language and understanding. But I also think, like you said, like, if you want to take them from just being army friends to, like, real friends, like, you got to talk about other things, too.
Yeah. I will say it is comforting knowing that I do have army friends that I can go to talk about BTS that I can't do with other people, right? Yeah. Like, you know, I might be on break at work and get, like, a notification that she was going on tour and I want to, like, scream about it. I can't necessarily, like, scream about that with my coworker friends or whatever, right? But I know that I can come to you and our other friends and we can, you know, go crazy over that. Or, you know, can't talk about JK's TikTok with anybody else. So, like, they wouldn't.
Yeah,
get it.
And, like, feasibly you could, but, like, going back to the shared language, like, you'd have to be like, okay, so they like were on Twitter, but then they were on Insta, but he deleted his Insta.
Yeah.
He only goes on Weverse, which is, like, then you have to explain Weverse maybe, and then you're like, but he also, like, exposed himself via, like, that he was on TikTok via Weverse, and, like, here's how, and then you're just quickly, like, backfilling the whole story with, like, details that the other person doesn't have, and then it's like an hour conversation and they clocked out after 10 minutes
exactly
minutes tops.
Yeah, they just get it. Yeah your
sure.
army friends just get it. You don't have to, like, do too much. Right? Or and exactly. You know that they're gonna respond similarly to you. They're not just looking at you like, okay. And
yeah, I genuinely think that our group chat is, like, my number one most texted group, like, possibly even more than my family members and some of my college friends, so whatever. This is not casting any aspersions any kind of way, but it's just funny because I am grateful to have that space.
We skipped one earlier that I want to go back to. They said they've never been to a BTS concert. How would you describe the overall experience?
I was thinking about this one, so I do have a quick answer at the ready. If I had to summarize it in two words, I would say it's a lot. I love them and they're fun, but it's a lot. Like, in a good way it's a lot, and in a bad way it's a lot. Like, financially it's a lot. Like, I love them. And, of course, I go to every concert that I'm, like, logistically able to go to. But they're just, like, really intense. I think, like, the anticipation leading up to it, The travel, the like figuring out who's sleeping where you're going for food, like, then, like we talked about our August D experience, but like inevitably standing in line for hours, whether it's merch, or like just in the rain to get in, dealing with like the disorganization, and then, but it like all falls away when the show is happening, and you're just like so in the moment. And you're so happy. Sometimes you're like too in the moment and you just like black out and forget everything, as we've talked about before. And then afterwards, I feel like it's also a lot to process because you have like the post-concert depression. Honestly, I'm like really hyped for the first couple of hours. So like it's 11 p.m. and people are trying to sleep, and I'm like, but what about when he did this? What about when he did that? Oh my God, how are we gonna go to sleep? Like, look at this video I took. Like, almost like too hyped up. And then, of course, there's like the crash. So it's super fun. It's like a shared experience, like no other, but like physically, emotionally, and financially, logistically, a lot.
You're right. I think we also make it a lot too.
Yeah, you could just go and show up. I
Yeah.
mean, that's not how we've done it, but you could do it that way.
Yeah. Like, we're like, oh, we need to get XYZ outfit and we're trying to plan all this. Or, you gotta have the light stick. Or, we gotta shoot for VIP. And there's some people that take this, like, in a more chill approach than we do. But also, there's some people that have more of a luxury to be able to see BTS more. Like, if you live in LA, if you live in Chicago or you live in New York, you might not have to do all of that struggle that we have to go through since we don't live in those areas. And BTS has never been to DC, Virginia, Maryland, Pittsburgh for a concert before. So that's why we have to do the absolute most in order to be able to see BTS. But the concert itself, it's amazing. It's like you go through all of that BS, but once you like actually experience the show, you're like, this was worth it. They are really up there singing live. The choreo's hitting. They are singing while doing that choreo. The production of the show is insane. I will say that I've been to other K-pop concerts, and I think HYBE artists put on the like the best shows. And I've noticed, like, having seen TXT, like, there's clearly some HYBE effect with like the production here that doesn't compare to like other artists that I've seen. I think second to that would have been like GOT7. And so, yeah, they put on like a really good show. They're really intentional about the production and the storyline that they tell. Yeah, it's just fun. Like watching it on the internet does not compare. It's just something like you should see in person if you have the opportunity to do so. It's an amazing experience that completely like trumps all the other things that you had to go through in order to get to it.
Yeah, I mean, I say it's a lot, and I guess that sounds really negative, but like obviously I keep doing it, so like I must be enjoying it despite all that, you know.
But you're right, it is a lot. Like that is our experience. It is a lot. It's a lot of money, a lot of everything else. It was a lot.
Yeah. It is fun because, kind of like we were saying about having a shared language, I do think that, like, a concert, like, I had no army friends when I started out. And when I went to Wings Tour in, like, March, I think it was March, maybe April of 2017 in Newark, like, I had no army friends. I just was going in with, like, no knowledge, no expectation. And, like, that's how I met our friend Jess, who's been on the pod before. And, like, it just kind of spiraled from there. And, like, I'm just really grateful to have met her. But, like, There's so many army you can talk to. Even if you don't hit it off forever, that like excitement and that shared language is still there. So
Yeah.
I think you realize the scale of it in a way you don't otherwise realize
Right.
at home.
And I'm someone who loves to go to concerts, period, like K-pop or non-K-pop, but I think BTS is like definitely one of the best artists, if not the best, that I've seen live.
It's almost gotten to the point where, like, I get excited for other shows, but, like, not in the same way. And I'm also really annoying to go to concerts with because I'm like, we have to be there 2 hours early. We will be in the front. And people are like, what if I don't want that life? And I'm like, that TikTok audio of, like, don't be ridiculous, Andrea. Everyone wants to live this way from the Devil Wears Prada. But, like, yeah, I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm overprepared for other concerts, but like emotionally less invested in them. Like, they're still fun, but there's just something so unique about BTS, I guess.
Yeah.
The next question, they're kind of related, and we've kind of been bringing it there anyway, but the person says, BTS is kind of a safe space for me, but I struggle a lot with being social. Do you have some tips or recommendations of where to hang out with ARMY? And then how many friends have you met through BTS? Do you want to take the first stab at these?
Yeah, I don't. I guess I view friendship kind of different. I've met many acquaintances through BTS, right? I've met a lot of cool people through BTS. People that I actually keep up with are is much smaller, but that's just me because I keep my social circle small. So I'm not saying I necessarily can count, but like I said, probably like 90% of my friends are into BTS or K-pop in general. at this point in my life. But to meet or hang out with ARMY, I think we've talked about this before last year. Like going to Cup Sleeves if they have them, like we were talking about earlier, joining clubs. If they have a K-pop club, do it. If they have a K-pop dance club, do it. If you're like, I don't dance, just do it anyway. If they have like a Korean language club, join it. If they offer some kind of like Korean language class, join it. I'm not saying to make the entire class about BTS, but like, just
In
join
fact,
it.
please don't do that.
Yeah, you'll probably find some ARMY there.
Yeah.
What else? You definitely can make friends online. I've done that before. Or like, I don't know. Don't do like Bumble friends. I've seen people like make friends off that way. Yeah. Make friends off the app that way. Like, you could find somebody who likes, BTS that way and find a genuine connection with somebody. And I think we said before, and I know it's hard, especially if you are not like, you don't feel like you're a social person, but like, start your own meetup group. You never know. Like, just put it out there. You can use the app Meetup. There's other apps out there as well. Start a group. Put it out there that, like, hey, I'll be meeting at XYZ place looking for friends. And you never know. Like, if Julie hadn't done that, we never would have met. So I think that's a great way to try and make friends.
Yeah, and I think too, like, I agree with everything you said. I think Facebook, like finding a city Facebook group is really helpful. Or like maybe Facebook is not your social media of choice, but if there are like, yeah, Meetup or some kind of like geographical focus thing, like I haven't necessarily, like I don't have a ton of ARMY friends in Pittsburgh. I would say my core ARMY group is our like group from DC, but I have met some cool people who are like, yeah, more at that acquaintanceship level. But I feel like
maybe with time we'll get there. I think you have to be patient. I feel like outside of our group, which was probably like a lightning strike or like trauma bonding from all of the aforementioned like central PA driving and like rat infested Airbnbs and stuff, like you were like, did we trauma bond? And ever since then I like can't stop thinking about that. But like I don't know, maybe we did, but I think like the fact that we keep commenting on how quickly we became friends is kind of a testament to how like weird that was even for us, you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
I do feel like Army are generally friendly, and again you have that shared baseline, and I think those are important, and like most Army are happy to meet other Army, but like it is a pretty established fandom at this point, so some people do have their groups, or maybe you meet someone and they seem really nice and they end up being really chaotic. Like I don't talk about this experience often, but I did start an Army group here in Pittsburgh, like even before I moved to DC. So this would have been like 2018 or something, and it was short-lived, but literally got kicked out of a bar with this one person and she threw up in the back of my car. And so like it's just like we are on here talking about the good experiences, but like I don't know if she threw up in my car. It might have been adjacent to my car, for the record. But nonetheless, like, there are some chaotic experiences as well. Or there's just people that you get weird vibes from. Or, like, eventually you realize you're not compatible in other ways. And that's okay, too. I think, like, at the risk of sounding really cynical, but I say this in a freeing way, it's important to have, like, realistic expectations about what the friendship would be like before you can jump ahead to like being best friends in every capacity. Like start out slow, you know, like commit to seeing that person. Like if you see them at a Cubs leave, like really tactically be like, hey, would it be cool if we follow each other on Instagram? If they say yes, then like the next time you go to a Cubs leave, you can be like, hey, I'm thinking about heading to this Cubs leave around like 3 p.m. Hopefully see you there. And they'll be like, oh yeah, like we're gonna go at that time. Or they're like, well, we're going at whatever else time. And you can decide like, are you able to try to be there when they're there? I just think like repeated exposure really matters. And like I guess my point of this rambling story is like have reasonable expectations. Not everyone will immediately be your friend, but if you do find someone you hit it off with, like make the effort to try to like be at events when they're there, or if like a concert movie's coming out, like invite them to go together. I mean, the worst they can say is no and you go solo, and like that would suck, but like it won't suck that bad because you're still going to see a movie. So I guess keep trying. Because even out of like the 200 people that were in our group, like at one point when it was at its peak pre-pandemic, like I probably regularly interact with like a handful of them. Right? So like percentage wise, that's not like super high, and it's nothing personal. Like maybe we just didn't hit it off, or people found their other people. Like I don't know. I'm kind of rambling now, but I guess all that to say is like it does take work and it does take time, but Army are pretty open to talking with other Army, and if you meet someone annoying, that's not like the end of the world.
I'm also a converter. I've converted a few friends to liking
You've had more
BTS.
luck than I've had with that. Yeah, so you should speak to that.
So you could be that type where you might have friends that aren't into it at all, and through subliminal messaging, they come around. So yeah.
I did like from zero dry convert one of my coworkers, so it is possible, but
Right.
only person I've ever gotten.
Like you were saying, give it some time and put in the effort, pretty much. But if they, obviously, if they're not like into it, don't like keep badgering them about BTS or whatever.
For sure. That definitely takes some like proceed with caution vibes, or
Right.
like gently ease them in.
Yeah. Basically, shoot your shot, because I've definitely tried to show BTS to certain friends, and they've been like, "Girl, why did you show me this?" And I'm like, "All right, not for you." And you just move on.
Feel like you may have better luck with friends that are already open to, like, global culture as a whole. Like, if they're a person who maybe, like, listens to reggaeton, or, like, they really like French indie pop, or they watch a lot of, like, I don't know, weird, like, British films, or they are really into, like, I mean, K-dramas are, like, the easiest sell. I feel like if someone has exposure to K-dramas, like, half your work is already done. But, like, I think the people that are generally, at least in my experience, more globally minded are maybe the ones that are gonna, like, put up with it a little more.
Yeah, true.
Maybe that's off base, but that's just my own experience. Oh, this episode's getting long. Should we keep it going?
Answered all of them.
Oh, yes. This person did leave us a nice little comment as well. So I'm glad that they have fun listening to the podcast. And I hope that they're also having an amazing day or night. I don't know their time zone. Well, cheers to another year of Girls with Fun.
If I had a glass, I would clink, clink. But yes.
Imaginary. Pop the imaginary champagne.
Exactly. Yeah, it's been fun. We have really accomplished a lot over the last 4 years, which, again, is still insane just to be able to say four. So, yeah, I'm happy to be here. Happy that we took that chance to make a podcast. And thank you for listening to us through all of our technical difficulties and the silly things we say and whatever else it is that you know, like about the podcast. I do appreciate it.
I agree. Ditto.
Well, yeah. That'll do it for today's episode of Girls with Fun. We'll see you next time.
Bye.